Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Today, Kenneth Copeland reveals why there's no fear in love. Place your full trust in God's love, and your spirit man can grow to full maturity. Grow in God's Word today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Here's Kenneth.
Let's go back over there to 1 John. Verse 16, and we have known. Now that word known is the word, the Greek word gnosko, which has several different contexts in which it's used, including the most intimate of relationships. And it is, this is talking about, we've known the love. So this is a very intimate relationship with God. Amen. You can't get closer to anybody than getting recreated by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
Amen. It defies natural understanding words. You can say it in tongues and finally get satisfied after a while. But you can't do it in your natural mind. You can just say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and it just ain't never enough. I mean, you remember what the Apostle Paul said? Same word. Oh, to know him and the power of his resurrection. To know it. And the moment we got born again, we know God.
Amen. That's right.
We know. And he is available to know more closely. Go to his book. He's begging us.
Yes.
You draw nigh to me, I draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Well, now, why isn't it the other way around? God draw nigh to me, and then, see, I'll get goosebumps about a quarter inch tall, and then I can draw nigh to him. Because it don't work that way. He's already drawn nigh to us. He's already done that, brother. I mean, he's living right on the inside of you. It's you and me holding back. Hallelujah. All right. Now, glory to God. We have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, when we closed yesterday, we were over in the 17th chapter of John. Let's go back over there. There's one more verse there that we need to see. And particularly when you realize that John wrote both these accounts. Now, if you'll take the account that we're reading right here and then put it up next to that letter, see, you can see what he's referring to. He's going back to what Jesus said.
Yes, yes.
Now, John calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. I questioned the Lord about that. I said, why did he write that way? He said, because he believed what I said in Mark 11:23. He confessed that. He called himself that. Amen. And of course, there's other reasons so, but that's what the Lord let me see. Now, I want you to notice the closeness. John believed the love, and he had no fear. He's the only one that didn't run. Right here, when they were having this supper, Peter, where was John? He wasn't next to him. He was laying his head on his. Of course, back there then, people didn't sit down in chairs. You sat on the floor. Tables were just high enough for to be sitting in the floor. And he's sitting there next to the Lord, and he just laid over there on him. Peter came. Jesus is talking about Judas. Peter came up and said, "Ask him who it is." Peter wouldn't ask him. Ask him who it is. So John said, "Who is it?" Or something like that. Amen. See, he believed the love.
Yeah.
So he's very close to him. Said whatever's on his heart. But when the time came, he's the only one that followed him all the way in court. All the way. He went all the way. He didn't run. The only one that didn't run. May I give you something else here?
Yes.
He lived longer than any of them. He lived longer than any other. Because you got a target on you, brother, when you start preaching faith.
Yes.
Yes. And Satan put a stop to this thing if he possibly can. And the way he gets through to most people, they don't believe the love. And God gets blamed for putting sickness on people. God gets blamed for all of that. Well, all the time you're spending time thinking about that, even if you don't believe it, all the time you spend thinking about it is wasted brain power. It's wasted mental power. You could have just been laughing at the thing and said, "Satan, I don't know who you think you are, but you can't put that on me. My God loves me, and I have no fear of anything you've got. I'm telling you, my Father loves me. You understand? I don't care if beads of sweat all over your brow and you both both knees are shaking. She just come right up and just laugh at him because of the joy of the Lord is your strength, and I'm not going to let you put that on me."
Amen.
You have to believe the love.
Yes.
If you start yielding, every little bit of ground you yield to fear, Satan's in there. Now, verse 26 of the 17th chapter of John. "I have declared unto them your name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them." They had no understanding of what he's talking about. Not until after he's raised from the dead. They had no understanding of what he's talking about. But my, that's what the cross was all about. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what he's talking about. That love is inside you and inside me right now. And it never fails. People fail it, but it never fails. Never. Love has never failed. Love has never made a failure. But there's only one way to walk in a place of freedom from fear, not just managing fear. People manage fear. You can take a guy that rides bulls for a living. I never could figure that out, but. But here's a guy that'd crawl on the back of a 2,500-pound Brahma bull and not have any fear of him. But he's just managing the fear. He goes, gets his truck, and he's driving to the next rodeo, and he's sitting there worried about his finances, worried about his wife, worried about his kid, worried about everything. He's broke, can't get by, and he's hurting all over, broke every bone in his body. So fear is eating him up. He's just managing it. But perfected love, 1 John 4:16, perfected love casteth out fear.
Amen.
Violation of the commandment of love, bang, and Satan is right in there and fear is on the spot. You repent. You know your rights. Amen. We have a dream team of advocate and counselors. Brother Dennington and I and Laura and Gloria, we've been studying on something that the Lord brought up. First I heard about it was from Chip Brim. And then through him, got acquainted with Brother Henderson that wrote the book that Chip got a hold of. I'm not gonna get all that far in it. But it's so interesting and very scriptural. I'm just not ready to teach it yet. But this part is extremely important. Jesus is the righteous judge. We know Him as Savior and all and all of these things, but we've never stopped to think about Him being judge. He's also our advocate. But then you find in the word parakletos, in the comforter, the teacher, the helper, there's also, that word also means counselor and advocate. Well, you get over into 1 John, we've already read that over there. If we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's an attorney.
Yes.
Folks, we got a dream team.
Amen.
Amen. We can take that rascal to court. I mean, you just stand up there and repent. I repent in the name of Jesus and I receive my benefits. I receive my forgiveness from all and cleansing from all unrighteousness. I receive it right now. And I bring this case to court in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And Satan, you shut your mouth. You ain't got a word to say in this court. You just shut up. But you're going to have to believe the love. Amen.
Amen.
But the more you function in this area, the more fear loses its grip. Now, I've actually experienced not having fear, not just manage it. But now you have to walk in this. Because I'm telling you, you just start judging people a little bit, man. I mean, it'll come back on you. You got to stay in it and stay with it. But you have to begin when the symptoms of fear are all still there. Now, years ago, Gloria was learning how to fly in a little single-engine Cessna. And we flew that airplane on a Sunday afternoon down to this little country airport, and we got down there and wasn't anybody on the airport, and so, but we knew what we wanted to go see, and we did, and we came back to the airplane. I mean, the thing just running fine. And so I got in the airplane. I was flying home. She's in the right seat. Pre-flighted, everything's fine. The key and the starter are all one. Nothing. And I thought, well, that, how can that be? My battery was perfect when I left Fort Worth. And I didn't lose my alternator. So my battery should be good. But it's deader than a hammer. There's nobody on this airport. There's no way to get around. I don't like to do this. And haven't done this very many times. But, and each time was a time of emergency where, and if you know what you're doing, you can do it. And so I went through all of the procedures with Gloria and told her, now here's left magneto, here's the right magneto, and this is on. Now, I want that key all the way off. I don't want this thing starting while I'm moving the propeller before I get ready to start the thing. I went through it 2 or 3 times. And I'm standing there looking at it. I said, you got it? Yeah. She said, I got it. I can do it. Brakes are set. Little airplane's easy to prop. But the prop's sitting over here like this, and it needed to be moved right here to get it on the stroke. When I moved it, it fired. That'll kill you. And most people get hurt very, very bad under those conditions. Thank God. Thank God. I just backed off. And the thing's running. How could that be? I found out what's called the P-lead between the magnetos and the starter was broken. So it wasn't connected to the battery. Battery was fine. With the switch off, the mags were hot. That's my fault. Should have checked it when I landed. While the motor's still running. If I'd have cut it off and it kept running, uh-oh. But no. I can't blame this on Gloria. I can't blame it on anybody but me. Not bad luck, no such thing. Bad management. Well, I went ahead and took off. We're flying out of there, and I'm flying along there. And I noticed that didn't have any effect on me. Because usually, you know, I mean, your heart pounding or something. And a voice sitting out here said, you like to kill yourself. I said, no, I didn't. Yeah, you did. You like to kill yourself. I said, no, I didn't. No, I ain't coming nowhere close to killing myself. Yeah, you did. You like to kill yourself. I said, no, my God loves me, and He takes care of me, and you can't kill me without my permission. There was absolutely no fear, and that's the first time I had ever noticed that. I hadn't been put in that position. And this was back there when we had first begun to learn this and walk in these things. It wasn't there. It wasn't that I was, you know, a little nervous and settled down here a little bit. It wasn't there. Hallelujah. Now that, whoa. But now let's get more serious than that. Our little granddaughter, 11 years old, and went upstairs to get her on Christmas Day, was delirious, took her to Cook's Medical Center in Fort Worth, and diagnosed her with Neisseria meningitis. And people, there's an epidemic of that among children. The hospital is just filled to capacity with it. Some had already died. Infectious disease specialists let Kelly know that they didn't expect her to make it through the night. Kelly told me, she said, "Daddy, there's just like a black cloud or something, just a shroud kind of thing, just came down over me." She walked up to Terry and said, and Terry said she could see it in her eyes, "I refuse to fear." She said, "Daddy, it was amazing how weak that thing was." She said, "It just..." She said, "I had no fear at all. No fear at all. It was gone." But and we finally got into town that night late, and about 11 o'clock that night, started early that Christmas morning. We got in there, and they had her in the isolation ward and all that. And flying home, the Lord had given me exactly the words to say, exactly what to do. Now, at that point, if I say anything else, those are idle words, and they'll cost me. If I do anything else, it's not going to work. Way too much talk. Not enough reverence for God and His Word. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. Shut up. What's happening? Fear just running out your mouth. Your faith hadn't got a chance. It can't do anything. Right. I walked up to the side of her bed. I said, "Lindsay." I did exactly what the Lord told me to do. Take my index finger, put it right on her breastbone. "I speak to the anointing that is in you. Rise up and put this disease out of your body." She gritted her teeth and shouted, "Papa, I'm healed in the name of Jesus." Every symptom left. Glory to God. She had some hang on of some hearing loss, and she just stood on her faith with that. Somebody'd call on the telephone, she'd take it off her good ear and put it over there and talk on that battery. And she kept doing that and confessing that, and all that left.
Amen.
Believe the love. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.